you up too close.
I don't need this, huh? This microphone? Good. God bless you. Have a seat. Once again, great to get into God's Word. We looked at a lot of tremendous stuff from the Word of God yesterday, kind of a condensed version. I was thinking about like a statement Tom made yesterday. He'd say something, and I thought that was an hour at teen camp. You know, that was an hour of teaching. He made a one-minute statement concerning the one body or concerning something from the camp. But it was just a thrill to get into God's Word and see some of these great truths. Yesterday when I had opened, I shared a little bit about the origin of the adversary and what had transpired with Lucifer, what he had done. And we saw in God's Word that Lucifer was a covering angel. He had authority, he had brightness and beauty, and he was taken by his own beauty. And he took some other angels out too. And that one-third of those angels are what we call the devil spirit world, that devil spirit kingdom that caused the cataclysmic events in Genesis chapter 1 that endeavor to wreak havoc on the world today, but most of all, to hinder the purposes of God. You know, whether it's worship, they want worship, or to stop you from going to the true God. And like I mentioned too, there were two-thirds good angels. We see the effect of the bad, right? You see the effect of those that fell. What about the good ones? Well, they're hanging around heaven right now, smoking cigarettes, just waiting for the gathering together for the things they need to do. So they're an impatient group. Now, that's not true. That's not true. Some would think that. But in the Word of God, there's a lot of stuff about those angels, what they do in the Word of God. We saw yesterday in Psalm 91, remember, where it says that he'll give his angels charge over thee? That wasn't just speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was about speaking about people who sought God as their habitation, their refuge. They were trusting him. The Word of God talks about, in other places in Psalms, about the angel of the Lord encamped round about the believers and protects them and takes care of them. Still there today. They still do that. We see in the Word of God, we saw, again, remember the adversary when he was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told him, you know, come on, throw yourself off this pinnacle. Because it says, it is written, and then he's twisted the word, but he said, he gave his angels charge over thee. They'll watch over you. And the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't bite. He did not accept that. An interesting thing, when you read that record, and you read it in Matthew, I think I read it in Luke. I can't remember what record I read it from. You go to Matthew, it says, and after the temptation, the angels ministered to him. You know what I mean? They were there to take care of him. You see angels show up at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to tell Mary she's going to have the Lord Jesus Christ. You see him at the resurrection, after the resurrection. You see them at the ascension, and they're mentioned what they do. And then you see them in the book of Acts, numerous places in the book of Acts. And then the Word of God speaks about them. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, and let me say, this is not a, you know, like a session on angels, you know what I mean? But it's a resource available to the believers today as they make known God's Word. And what I mean by a resource, it's something that God will utilize to help us move His Word. What's the beautiful thing about it? He'll do that to help us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? And then it says, sent forth. They're sent forth. Who sends them forth? Me? No, God does. It's help. It's support. And they're sent forth, it says, to minister for them. Isn't that cool? Who shall be heirs of salvation? Isn't that wonderful? God sending him forth. Jesus Christ knew those resources were available. He said he could pray to his Father and have those resources available. Jesus Christ didn't direct them. Jesus Christ didn't direct his Father what to do. Nor do we do that today. These beings, it says they're here. They're ministering spirits. They're spirits that do service. Isn't that something? They do service. The Word of God also says we could entertain angels unawares. In other words, angels could be amongst us and we didn't even know they were angels. And later on you said, that was pretty incredible, wasn't it? How someone came and lifted a car off these believers, and then where was that guy that lifted that car? Some believer stepped in, some individual stepped in and helped some believer and then left, and they say, who was that masked man? Yeah. And it could have been a ministering spirit. But these, again, these are, as it says here, sent forth to minister for them. Isn't that wonderful? What a great truth. But I don't tell angels what to do. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and a guy said to him, do you believe in, you know, the power of angels and that you can send them forth in the name of Jesus Christ? It's like, oh, they twisted it around a little bit. You know what I mean? That you just say the name of Jesus Christ and you tell angels what to do for you. I'll tell you, there will be somebody helping you, but it won't be the true God when you start directing stuff like that. You understand what I mean by that? We go to the Father, we walk with Him, we trust Him, and these are resources that are available to us. And what I mean by that, it's God's option, it's God's choice, it's God working, taking care of His own. And like it says here, to help, to minister. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Verse 15. It says here, Jesus Christ speaking, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what? Those that believe. In My name. Wonderful, wonderful truth. In My name. Jesus Christ says in Matthew, all power and authority was given to Him. And then it says, He gave it to us. He commissioned us to go forth in His name. We have the authority to do the things that the Word of God says we can do. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the manifestations of the Spirit. They're ours to use. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught that and communicated that, as we can see here. In My name shall they cast out what? Devils. And the casting out of devils is by revelation. God giving information, and it's done. It's not a census thing. And we handled that yesterday. We got into that yesterday. It's by revelation. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Pretty interesting. You know, we walk amongst the dead of this world and make known the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing eternal life to others, bringing deliverance where we go, whether it's devil spirit deliverance, people are delivered in that respect, healing. We have the ability to do that. That's ours. It's given to us. That's ours to do. And then it says, verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, these apostles, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. See, they went out and made known the word. They made known the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they did. And as they made known the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever assistance was available to them was available to them to help move God's word. That was it. And they made a tremendous commitment. There was tremendous dedication. And God worked with them. God helped them. He took care of them. So let's go to Acts chapter 3. I just want to read a few records in Acts where these believers went out and started making known the Lord Jesus Christ, making known the deliverance that was available to the world then. What did I say? Let's go to Acts 4. Acts 3 is good. Great deliverance there. Acts 4. Let's start in verse 16. And prior to this, they had ministered to a man. He was whole. He was a lame man. And he was made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Why in the name of Jesus Christ? It wasn't some fancy of Peter that he pulled this out of his hat. Hey, this is how we're going to do it today. It was what the Word of God says for them to do. It's what Jesus Christ told them they had the authority to do. And He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked. And it really astounded the religious systems of that time. They didn't like that because it was kind of screwing up what they were doing. And here it says in verse 16,
the religious guys here. They said, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them and is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man what? In this name." Isn't that something? In this name. Pretty incredible. They weren't concerned about anything else, but that no, this is not spoken in this name. You see, that name of Jesus Christ, that precious name of Jesus Christ, right? That's right. That's what they're making known. Hey, an aside to this, have you ever seen that show or heard of that show, Touched by an Angel? It's promulgated by the Christian world. I think it's real wonderful. Jesus Christ isn't mentioned. It's a Christless show. You understand? And it's touched by an angel. If those angels were true angels, that wouldn't be. That's not the way the show would work. The Lord Jesus Christ would be made known. Today, people talk about angels again. They talk about little glass angels. I'll tell you something too. Have you ever talked to family or friends that maybe you've known 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and they find out you're into God's Word? So they associate God's Word with all this other paraphernalia. So they'll send you angels, you know? You like that? They do. They send you little paraphernalia that they think you'll really like. But, you know, it has nothing to do with the Word of God. Nothing. They're sincere people, but they just don't know. They don't know God's Word. Then that's our responsibility then to start making known the truth of God's Word. Then they tell them, hey, this little glass thing is not an angel. I'll show you from God's Word. Do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know about the new birth? That's the privilege we have. But I always get a kick out of that when people do that. They want to bless me. But it usually kind of chokes me. Some of you have experienced that, haven't you? I have a relative that started collecting angels. And she used to collect unicorns. And I used to think, man, collecting unicorns. Now I thought, go back to the unicorns, you know. Don't get spiritual with me. It drives me crazy. But again, people get caught up in all this crazy stuff, and they think it's so spiritual. They think it's so godly. And God ain't in it because Christ isn't in it. That's right. Christ isn't in it. And you'll find many people too. When they start teaching, they might make known the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit, somehow get his name in there, but then the whole thing is works-oriented, that Christ did nothing, that it's all yours. You know what that is? That's anti-Christ. That's anti what he did. That's right. But like we learned yesterday, sometimes, you know, you got the big banners, the big kiss emblem. Oh, that's the devil. That's the devil. But you don't see how the adversary is working behind the scenes, where he'll steal the Word of God from a church. They don't even know that they can walk in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no power to the Christian believer. But boy, they're Christian. But see, that's where people get taken for a ride. The adversary walks right into the church today and does that stuff because they don't know what they have as a believer. And we're the ones that can make it known where we go. We speak that Word of God. We make known the Lord Jesus Christ, just like they did here in the book of Acts. So they said, don't speak in this name. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. So they decided this. They said, don't talk about it. Don't teach about it. Shut up. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you guys figure it out, because we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Great commitment, huh? So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. And they got back together with the believers, and they prayed, and they prayed for more boldness, and they went out and continued to make known the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you go to chapter 5. Boy, you read the book of Acts, and you can see some wonderful things where these believers just walked. Same God today, same Spirit today, same Lord Jesus Christ today. Same ministering spirits today. And I think when men and women have that same kind of commitment, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard, they start seeing the resources of God, because they take God at his word. In chapter 5, let's start in verse 17. This is after a lot of great deliverance, making known the Lord Jesus Christ, people getting healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So they arrested them for speaking God's word. Earlier, they couldn't find any reason to beat them or detain them because the people, they were concerned about what the people might say. Now some more deliverance is taking place. They're making known the Lord Jesus Christ. People are getting born again. They're believing the scriptures. They're believing the word of God. So they got to stop this. So they catch these guys and they put them in prison. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Isn't that wonderful? What life was that? That was the life that one would have by becoming born again, by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. That angel came to assist them, to help them. And he said, you go out and keep making known that word of God. So then it says, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate and the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found what? No man within. They weren't in there. Keepers were there. How does that work? I don't know. Do I have to figure that out? No. I stand with the true God. I make known his word. Situations happen. I'm looking to God for deliverance. They saw it. Verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. And then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. How about that? Pretty wonderful, isn't it? Boy, they just kept making known God's word. And these guys didn't know. See, God worked in those believers, helped those believers, so they stayed ahead. A step ahead of the adversary's guys. You understand? The adversary's guys were confounded. They didn't know what to do, these religious leaders. But the apostles knew what to do. They had a great commissioning from the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed it. And then they had assistance as they moved God's word. That assistance is available today. Again, not my job to figure it out. I don't tell God how he's supposed to do things. But, you know, I walk with him, and he takes care of me. Go to another place here in Acts chapter 8. You know, there's another record in God's word where Peter was in jail and a king was going to kill him. And it says there was four quaternions of soldiers that watched him. You know, he had the best guards. You notice how on TV when they show any terrorists or anything that they're bringing and moving, you notice how they hoods over their head. Guards, guns, boy, we're making sure these guys don't get out. That's what they did with Peter. Stuck him in a prison, and an angel walks in the midst of that prison, unchains them, and gets him out, walks him through the whole city and says, okay, be on your way. See you later. And he said, holy bucket. You know, he couldn't believe it. An angel did that. Woke him up. He was helping him in a situation like that. Readily available to Peter. How about you and I? Word of God says it is. I said Acts 8, right? Acts 8. Verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, unto the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Earlier, what happened? We read that they weren't doing a whole lot to him, were they? Couldn't find a reason to incarcerate him, didn't want to beat him. The people would be upset. Then later on, they beat him and they walked out counting it worthy to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. These were tremendous, dedicated believers. Here, the persecution's great. It says, against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they which were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word of God, making known the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they did. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Christ unto them. That's what he made known. And look at what happened. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. hearing and seeing the miracles which Philip did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were what? Healed, they got delivered, and there was great joy in that city. When people walked with the power of God and made known the Lord Jesus Christ, deliverance followed. Jesus Christ told them that would happen, right? He gave them the authority. He went out and did that. Then look at this. Great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. And what did he do? He bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Hey, in the context, here's the guy that had an effect on them, and what was happening to the people? They were possessed, they were sick. Don't you think the adversary was ripping those people off? Absolutely. And this man was the great power of God. And the adversary was using that man, getting, in essence, getting worship from that man. You understand? That's what he was doing. And so this guy did this. Verse 11, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, what happened? They were baptized, both men and women. And this guy even believes. This guy even gets born again. Isn't that magnificent that this guy could change? And then we read a little farther where these believers then speak in tongues. They know then that they're born again. And they were still a little, there was a problem there where they didn't speak in tongues. And they sent men from Jerusalem. Peter and John came down and got involved with those believers, and they spoke in tongues. Then you find Simon, he wants some of this power. And they said, you have no part in this ministry. He said, you better pray to God for forgiveness because your head ain't in the right place. And he said, hey, will you help me? And I don't know if they did. I trust they did. The guy wanted deliverance. It was available. And then it says in verse 25 of chapter 8, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he, what did he do? He arose and went. Angel told him, hey, got a job for you. Here's where you need to go. Was Philip sitting praying for an angel? Now what do I need? I need an angel to direct me. No. He was just walking with God, and angel shows up, tells him what to do. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then that angel said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Isn't that cool? He said, the angel said, go get next to the chariot there. Okay. Off he goes. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand what you're reading? You know what you're reading there? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Isn't that wonderful? What a setup. What a wonderful setup. And what did Philip say? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. Made known the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that angel said, go here, do this. He was there for one man to hear God's word. Isn't that amazing? But look at the heart of the man you had. It was a guy who was dedicated, committed to God's word. You find in chapter 6, it tells you about Philip. He was very dedicated to God's word. I trust as we get more and more committed to God's word and moving his word, making known the Lord Jesus Christ, we see more of these resources available to the church. They were here in the book of Acts. So then it says, and then they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. You know, sometimes people read this verse of Scripture and they get shook up. They think, well, shouldn't we baptize? Well, the Word of God tells us we get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Just because Philip wanted to baptize him in water, that didn't make it the Word of God. You understand? It really didn't. It's something that Philip did. When you read Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius' household got born again, Peter wanted to baptize him too, but you find out in chapter 11 that he realized, hey, wait a minute, Jesus Christ told me this. You know, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. But Philip baptized him with water. Lack of understanding, lack of teaching, I don't know what it was, but God's still working. The water didn't kill the eunuch, you know what I mean? Didn't kill the eunuch. And then it says he baptized him. And verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Remember, it was that angel. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he kept making known the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And Caesarea, that's an interesting place. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man, verse 1, in Caesarea called what? Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And what happened to him? Verse 3 tells us, he saw in a vision, evidently or openly, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. So here's a man praying to God, and we don't know right here in this verse what he's praying, but he's going to God, and we know he's a devout man. We know he's concerned about the things of God, and an angel appears to him while he's praying. And the angel in verse 4 says, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he, the angel, said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. In other words, God was saying via this angel, God heard your prayer. And then he says, And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to what. Here this guy Cornelius is praying to God. He wants help. God sends an angel. The angel says, I'm here to give you the answer you need, and this is how it's going to be done. You get in touch with this guy named Simon, and Simon will tell you what you oughtest to do. And I just want to take you for a quick little run here through this little section, because it says he's going to tell you what he ought to do. Let's look at verse 21. When these men came to him, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear what? Words of thee. He's got something to tell you. An angel sent us here via Cornelius to get you because you've got something to tell Cornelius. Some words. Look at verse 31. This is when Peter gets to the house of Cornelius. Verse 31, and he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. This is where he's reiterating this to Cornelius about what had transpired. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Isn't that cool? So he's saying, we want to hear what you've got to say. That's what the angel told us. That's why you're here. We're ready. What do you got to say? Then in Acts chapter 11, when Peter was called on the carpet after he went into this Gentile house. He was talking to these Jews about this situation, and he was reiterating what had transpired. Verse 12, it says, "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting," which we're going to read in a minute. Verse 13, "And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house." This is talking about Cornelius. "How he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what?" Isn't that wonderful? That's what Cornelius was praying. Philip had moved God's word, made known the Lord Jesus Christ, and got it right to Caesarea. And here this Gentile, dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope, who had a heart for God, who wanted to know God, was dead in trespasses and sins. And God said, "Got an answer for you, Mr. Gentile. And it's coming by a guy named Peter." And an angel gave him that message. And that's what he prayed. He wanted to get born again. He wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I think is so magnificent about this record? The angel said, "Okay, I'll tell you." No. The angel said, "I'm going to send someone who is commissioned to do the job." That's Peter. Just like you and I are men and women commissioned to make known the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the ones with the ministry of reconciliation. We're the ones with the word of reconciliation. Those angels are there to help, to minister, to assist, whatever they can do to get the word out. Helping us, assisting us. That's what it says. Isn't that magnificent? See, again, this is not a teaching on, you know, go out and pray for angels. Go out. It's just what the word says about them. They're there in God's word, and they're there to assist. And when men and women have a heart to make known God's word, the help is there. You understand? It's like when someone wants to know God's word, they have a hunger for God's word, and they want to approach God's word with meekness. Boy, that word of God opens up to them, doesn't it? Absolutely. Many of us have experienced that. When we really have a heart to know God's word and we're patient with God's word, we're not trying to run off with something, boy, God can teach. We learned yesterday many times the temptation is, this is the new thing, this is the new thing, gotta go, right? You just say, hold on right there, I don't have to go anywhere. I just stay put. See what the scriptures say. But when a man or woman stays meek to God's word, boy, God can teach. When men and women are endeavoring to move God's word, God's there taking care of them, helping them. Just want to go back and read a little bit of this in Acts. Verse 7, chapter 10. "And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance." He didn't fall into a trance. That's a bad translation. Okay? What happens? God revealed some incredible information. Here's what happened. "He saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him that said, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted, or he considered deeply in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on that vision, the Spirit and God," I don't know how he revealed this information, but it was God giving information to Peter, "said unto him, Behold, three men seek you, Peter. Three men are here looking for you. Arise, therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting what?" Nothing. Don't doubt. Don't do anything different. See, and when I think about this is magnificent. You got Peter praying here, you got Cornelius praying there, and God's working. God's working in a wonderful way. Then Peter went down, verse 21, to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee in this house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And this is a pretty good trip he's going on. And remember, these people are Gentiles now that came into Peter's house. And now Peter's going to a Gentile's house. And on the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. And Peter said unto him, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or what? Unclean. In that vision, Peter said, Not so, Lord. You know me. I'll never eat anything unclean. A day later, look at what he's doing. That's quite a guy, isn't it? Quite a guy who could just put that stuff on hold and walk with God. We can do that, too. We can do that, too. Where the senses can say one thing, where our upbringing can say one thing, our culture can say one thing, and the Spirit of God, the angel of God, whatever it may be, can give us information, and we can trust him and walk with that information. Boy, isn't that magnificent? Peter did that. And you know what's so beautiful about Peter? This wasn't a guy who did everything right. Remember Peter? We know him. Hey, I look at Peter and say, I'm in good company. That's right. I am in good company. And you know something we looked at yesterday? Peter got ripped off too, but we know at the end of Peter's life, he came back to God's word. God doesn't, you know, we're not expendable. He's always there working. I don't care if you guys have if any of you guys have ever taken a hike, you're sitting here for the first time again in years, praise God. Door's always open. We heard it in manifestations. He put his spirit in us so we have access to him. And he desires that. He desires that relationship. That's what Jesus Christ paid for. That's what we're making known to the world today, the Lord Jesus Christ, so God Almighty can have fellowship with people which he so desires, you see? Boy, what a beautiful thing. And we've got a part in that. We've got a part in that. We've got the ministry of reconciliation. And good old Peter walked right into the heart of Cornelius' household, and they said, We are all here. And what a guy Cornelius was. He gathers all his friends and relatives. Big old Italian party. You know those kind, don't you? Plenty of food, but boy, the Word of God was going to be taught that day, and those guys got born again and spoke in tongues. How magnificent. That's the privilege that we have as believers today, making known the Lord Jesus Christ where we go. And you know something? Your sphere of influence is different than mine. You go places I'm not going to go. I go places you're not going to go. We all go different places, and we go making known the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? We will have the resources available to us to do what we need to do. Whether we deal with spirit in the spirit realm, whether we bring deliverance, or we make known the greatness of God's word, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the privilege that we have in this day and time. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of God. We can do this same thing. That's our privilege today as believers. And we've got the resources of God at our hands. Okay? So, I'll pray, okay? Father, thanks for this wonderful weekend in your word. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your goodness, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did for us and in us. And Father, how you've equipped us, you've enabled us, and you've given us the wonderful privilege to make known your word. And Father, we're just so thankful what Jesus Christ did for us, and we're so thankful that we can let others know about him. Father, we're grateful too for his return, that we can live in light of that, knowing one day we shall be gathered together and be with you for an eternity. Father, we're thankful for this word, for this wonderful family, for this wonderful one body, each member in particular, and for the great things we've seen this weekend. And Father, as we go forth, you can continue to enlighten us day by day as we make known your word. Thank you in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Thanks, bro.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.